I have a little script I'll read for my first one. So thank you for joining us. As I've already said, my name is Amy Hunter. I'm the director of the Division of Credit Unions. Today is October 2nd, 2019, and this is the public hearing on a new rule that's being considered. And this is after a change that was made by the legislature to the Credit Union Act, which the Northwest Credit Union Association was very involved with. So I will be the presiding officer for this hearing. We have Margie Asola on the phone. Margie is our financial legal examiner in the division, and Margie gets really all of the kudos for drafting this rule. Idaho has a similar law and a similar rule, and so Margie really helps significantly by talking with them about what worked well with their reg and what they might suggest. So the only record or only document that we have today is the rule itself that's being considered. This was also on our website. I do have a couple of hard copies if you want a hard copy for some reason. I'm gonna make you take a hard copy. Well, not really. I'm not gonna make you take it, but I only printed a couple. I will not chase you down if you leave without it and make you put it in your hand, I promise. So I'm going to go ahead and call this hearing to order at 10:06. And this will be a hearing on what is a new rule, a new section of WAC 208-400-040. And this is the procedures for requesting powers and authorities authorized in other states. So the purpose of this hearing is to receive any public comment on the proposed rule. And we will consider all comments received until 5 p.m. on Friday the 4th. So sometimes we will close any comments at, looks like past practice, at 5 the day of this, but I figure realistically there's no problem with leaving it open for just a couple more days. So the proposed rule was filed with the Code Advisor's Office as a CR 102 on August 20th, 2019. And I wrote down the date that my boss Christina told me that it was published, but I left that on a different piece of paper. So if you have that handy on when it was published. If you don't, it's okay.
I know the register, I just don't know the date that was published.
Okay, we'll find that out. Not that that will be critical to the success of this, but at least we'll know. So the rules were amended to implement House Bill 1247. So this new law allows five things, one of which was to use powers and duties from another state. And so the draft rule just addresses those powers and duties. Thank you. The 102 was filed on 9-4 of 2019. Thank you. So Section 5 of the bill talks about, or the new law, allowing a credit union to use a power or duty from another state if certain conditions are met. And then also notes that any such power is subject to regulation by the director. So before the credit union could exercise that power or duty, they have to notify me of their intent to do so. And they're really, the purpose of this regulation is to outline what that notice procedure would be, really what it does, and includes what would have to be in that request. So the request has to have five things. This is where, if you are following along in the rule, we have A, B, C, D, and E, and describing that specific power that they want to use, how it's going to serve the convenience and advantage of the credit union members, the state law citations upon which the powers or authorities are based. So here we would be looking for what that other state's authority says. A description of the policies, procedures, or other documents that the credit union is going to use to implement that power or authority. A description of how the powers or authorities will impact the credit union's safety and soundness, including net worth and earnings. And then any actions planned to mitigate the safety and soundness risks created by the requested powers and authorities. So then the way that this would work is that, assuming that the request had met those different criteria, then I would be granting the request if I find that the power or authority is in the interest of the members of the credit union and maintains the fairness of competition and parity between state chartered credit unions and out-of-state credit unions, and that the power or authority can be implemented by the credit union. and then in a safe and sound way. Then there are some timelines with it. If I would take no action within 30 days, then the right to exercise the power would be deemed granted. And I could also ask a credit union to waive or extend that 30-day response time. I think it's just really important to note that subsection 2 requires that the application be complete. So that really is a safeguard to make sure that time doesn't start, day one doesn't start until the application is complete. And what would happen if I didn't feel that I was ready to make a decision within that 30 days, and I would have the ability to deny that. So some of those things are just part of how the process would actually work. The team here so far in my 11 months of experience here, if things have a 30-day timeline, we get on them when they start. So I'm really not anticipating that these timelines would end up being significant in how we had to implement the rule. But, you know, they could come into play depending on how things work and depending on how complicated the power of duty is with from that other state. So we did have a stakeholder meeting in July and got written comments from Hal Scoggins. So several of you know that Hal is an attorney who does a lot of credit union work. We also received questions from a member of the public, but they were not really comments on the rule itself. So had someone who had contacted me who just had some questions about it. I called him back because they were what I would have expected for what I'm just going to call usual questions. And it sounds like he was running for an office in Eastern Washington and had put in credit unions and had this rule had come up. And so that's why he contacted me with questions. So I walked him through what the process would be, and we've not heard anything from him since then. But because that might not be something that you've been aware of, I just wanted to share that with you. So those comments will be part of the public record of the rulemaking file, and they are available by request.
Amy, are you able to share the name or maybe?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I don't consider that to be anything that would be private, so
sure.
His name was Michael Luzzo, L-U-Z-Z-O, or Luzzo.
Okay.
I might not be saying that correctly.
Thank you. Yeah, just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not anyone that I think we had heard from at the office before. Just Christina chiming in saying no, he was not something that we had heard from before. So again, we'll receive any additional comments through the end of business on Friday. And we have information on our website for anyone else who wants to submit written testimony on how to do that through Christina. So at this point, I'll go ahead and call for oral testimony. So should you choose to testify, I would ask that you state your name. And if you are representing someone, that you would share that, and then whether you are speaking for or against the proposed rule. So at this point, I'll open it up for public testimony.
Well, I just would say that this is John Troll with the Northwest Credit Union Association. I just want to say thank you for taking this on and for making some of the changes that our attorney requested, and really appreciate the simplifying of the request, the powers, and the description rather than asking for the full powers to be included. So that was very nice and very much appreciated.
Thank you, John. Anyone, you don't feel that you must testify?
I'm ready. Director Hunter, Ms. Diaz, for the record, Allison Phelan representing BECU, would like to piggyback, hope that's in the record, on my colleague's comments a moment ago. We do support and appreciate very much being included in this process. Would like to thank the Northwest Credit Union Association for bringing this bill forward in the 2018-2019 session. And I, again, appreciate the opportunity and the process in which we were, you know, able to participate actively, ask questions, see this rulemaking process come to a close, it sounds like, in the next couple of days. for your time.
You're welcome. Our participants on the phone, do you have anything to add? Or if anyone else has joined the call? Thanks, Bill.
I like that in the record as well.
Yeah, well, I think it will be. This is being recorded. So, Margie, do you have anything to add? Well, I will go ahead and close the opportunity for public testimony at this point. So thank you for attending and appreciate that. And I'm going to go ahead, actually, before I adjourn, I'll just say there one thing that we are required to do under the Administrative Procedure Act before we can file the 103, the final rulemaking, is to complete a concise explanatory statement. And so that will be factored into our process. We are required also to send that out to anyone who has commented on it. So we will send that to Hal, and we will also send that to Mr. Lezo, and then we will proceed with the filing of the 103. And then that would be effective 31 days from filing. So at this point, I can't tell you what day we will file all of that, because that will be my boss, Christina, and I figuring that out. And we haven't done all of that yet, but we can sure let you know. So with that, I will go ahead and adjourn, and we're adjourning at 10:16.